You're listening to Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast where we discuss our favourite tweets and trends from the week. Whether they're social, political, or from the world of sports, we love the unpredictable mess that is Twitter. Enjoy the intro music. Welcome to Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast that's all about talking tweets, Twitter, and the ridiculousness of the Twitterverse. My name is Fergal, and I am joined this week by Sean. Sean, how are we doing? How was your week?
It's good. What did I do that was great this week? I can't remember.
This is the content people come to the podcast to hear.
I think you used that joke before.
Did I?
Yeah, you used it. We had a drink yesterday.
We did have a drink yesterday outside in a pub.
Yes.
Like normal people, which was nice.
Yes, and I had some crafty.
You had some crafty beers.
Yes.
Very good.
Nice. Yes.
Did you feel like a normal person out for normal drinks?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I felt like a return to normality. I thought it was nice.
Excellent. Well, listen, we're without Cormac this week.
Yeah, and do you know what as well? I noticed that I because Cormac isn't here, my standard has dropped considerably.
Yeah, you did text me during the week to say that you weren't kind of putting your usual background checks into your topic this week.
Yeah, no, I just didn't feel. He's like Ronaldo. He raises everybody up around you.
Are you the Messi to his Ronaldo? Like you're kind of competing against each other and.
That's what I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
If he's not on, I just don't feel bothered. I don't feel
like when he's so. People there. Should just stop listening to this episode right now. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well, listen, he's not available this week because it's Mama Cormac's birthday, and he's out celebrating and kind of with the family.
Yes.
So you know, happy birthday to Mama Cormac.
Yes, happy birthday, Mama Cormac.
Thanks for giving him to the world. Sean, we're keeping things relatively light this week as well.
Yes,
without Cormac. What are you looking at this week? What topic are from Twitter are you bringing to the podcast this week?
I was going
to
look just
as you fix yourself.
I was just going to look very briefly at
there you go.
The anti-vaxxing people were out in force this week on Twitter.
Oh yeah,
and Joe Duffy, for once in his life. Had a very interesting show about it that I listened to.
Okay.
And it, you know, touched on Twitter topics and stuff like that. So yeah, a lot of awful stuff going on. So I might just talk about it briefly. And then Frostbit Boy came in to the news this week, and that took over Twitter. Everyone thought it was the coolest story of the year.
Frostbit Boy is pretty amazing. Yeah, that's good. Okay, cool. I know myself. I'm going to take a look at. This wonderful anti-vaxxer called Jackie Devoy put out a tweet that got mercilessly destroyed and repeated and parodied throughout Twitter.
Parodied?
Yeah, someone did it. Loads of people did weird, like, you know, the weird Al Yankovic star.
Okay.
Without the music, I guess. Oh. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. It's pretty good. And then I want to touch upon Nirvana Baby. Nirvana Baby's ridiculous like kind of lawsuit that he's thrown out there.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, and we had a heated debate about that in the pub last night as well.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, it was good. Yeah.
What was I talking about?
Who fucking knows? Well, listen, let's talk about it now.
Okay.
Okay, Sean, I'm going to come to you first because you're by your lonesome this week.
Yeah.
So yeah. Tough.
I feel I'm kind of. Yeah, no, yeah, it's just.
You feeling the pressure?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, because I've kind of.
Well, listen, tell me about this Joe Duffy, this actual interesting Joe Duffy kind of show.
So recently a lot of anti-vaxxers, so we're talking about the likes, and for once actually in the first time in a long while, RTE actually named the anti-vaxxers that were involved in this thing, because what they're doing is simply horrendous. So you've got Gemma O'Doherty, you've got Ben Gilroy is another, and Dolores Webster.
Okay.
Is another one. And these are like we were on when the Beacon were on and we were talking about sort of far right kind of, these people are, you know, they're conspiracy theorists and, you know, they believe in sort of anti-vaxxers and believe it's giving people 5G and all this. Jammer Doherty last week had some ridiculous fucking videos up. She was driving through, I think it was Nace and Kildare, and she was just looking at all the buildings and like anybody who was like foreign, she was like putting them out, like look at the disgrace of those, and horrible anti-immigration type of stuff, and look at how run down the town is, and this is all Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin's fault, just vile sort of comments. But what they've been doing in the last week or two is, I think according to Joe Duffy's show, it's been going on a while, is that they've been hijacking, I suppose, people who are dying young.
Oh God.
On RIP.ie. So look up at RIP.ie and...
Actually, for anybody who doesn't know, what is RIP.ie, Sean?
It's we're quite famous here in Ireland for like knowing people, like it's a small country and knowing people, and it's a big thing when somebody dies that you know.
Yeah, whenever you visit your parents' house, the first thing you're told when you walk in the door is, oh, such and such just died. You know, it's always like the first thing out of your folks is their marriage. Like.
Yeah, and there's some business, I think, I don't know if there were like... undertakers or something, but they came up with an idea of having a website with all the death notices up that people could go on and find out who died, where the mass is at and all of this. But these anti-vaxxers are going online and they're looking for sort of young people who have tragically died suddenly, and they're going through their social media profiles to see if they have their, you know, lots of people were putting up their vaccinations cards, and if they're then making the link saying that, well, actually, these people died of the vaccine, and they're putting their pictures up online to say, these people died of the vaccine.
And that's pretty disgusting.
Calling their family murderers was one, like that. O'Doherty was, there was a couple of comments underneath something she posted up on her website and saying how her family were murderers for making her get the vaccine, and
holy shit.
So Joe Duffy had Deb Cahill on, I think her sister Nicole died a couple of months ago, and she had some underlying health issues, but she said, she maintains, even though they don't know what she died of yet, she maintains it's definitely nothing that got to do with the vaccine, and just how horrible it is that these conspiracy theorists are using her memory to kind of put forth this agenda. And she was saying about Twitter's sort of interaction with this, that's like she contacted Twitter to take down certain posts of pictures of her sister up, and she just thought it was bizarre that Twitter then were asking her to prove that she was her sister. And she was just saying this, the weird juxtaposition that these anti-vaxxers are putting up these posts without having any connection to the family, and yet when she's contacting them to take them down, that she, you know, she's being asked for proof of an entity, and
kind of the wrong way around, nearly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the wrong way around. But they're just horrible fuckers.
That's pretty vile. And I know we were going to say, I know we said we'd have a more lighthearted episode today. But
oh yeah, we did.
No. But I mean, is like it's an important thing to talk about, because the likes of Gem and that, they seem to think they're untouchable.
Yeah. At the minute, and Joe Duffy made, and it was the first time I listened to Joe Duffy, and I was, Jesus, this is not a misery type of show. He's actually getting at a good couple of good points.
He was usually just owl folks kind of.
Yeah, like, he was saying how like she was saying stuff against the Beaumont Hospital, and RTE and the HSE and loads of different people that have the power to take her to court. And so far, it's only the Beaumont Hospital that took her to court.
Yeah, and I think even that might be a countersuit, because I think she tried to sue them originally, didn't she?
Yeah. So like, they're saying that all these big organisations that she's slandering should be taking her up to court, because when it comes down to then these small families that, you know, she's slandering and, you know, taking you know, their children's memories away from them, like using them in a completely vile way that, you know, these families don't have the power or the resources to go to court and take her up. So she's like, just making the point that these people should be made accountable for the shit that they're saying.
Yeah, do you know what's particularly disgusting in my mind about this? And this is the first thing I thought about, is that to do this in a coordinated attempt, you know, they clearly had a meeting or a meetup about this of some sort, and as a group decided this is what we should do.
Yeah,
we should go through dead young people's social media accounts, find proof that they've had the vaccine. And we all claim they died of the vaccine. Like, you know, they had a meeting about that. Like, these adults got together, and these adults who claim to be the most sane people around, that the world isn't sane and they're fine, and they got together and decided, this is the best course of action. This is how we're going to win this.
Yeah.
How monumentally fucked in the head do you have to be? Like?
And the worst one was Ben Gilroy. You might have seen him trending at the start of the week. But he went down to a funeral, a young man died, I think he was 22 or 23, went down to a funeral in Wexford.
Oh, I heard about this.
And live streamed in front of the funeral.
Yeah.
All about how awful it was he died of the vaccine and stuff. And he's an awful fucker. Like,
didn't he go outside someone's house there, like, a few weeks ago? Some comedian's house?
Yeah.
That bald lad, I can't think of what his name is, but he puts out some good content on Twitter. And I think he put out something maybe making fun of Gilroy at some point.
Right.
Or maybe making fun of the anti-vaxxers in general.
Yeah.
And he went to his house and started knocking on it, going like, oh, I guess he's not going to come out and face me and all this. And I don't think your man was actually home.
Yeah.
But, and kind of acting the big man inside his house. And then he proceeded to tell what he thought was a joke, and it was just like, wasn't a joke. But yeah, he seems to be a psychopath.
Yeah, he wants a good slap. but yeah, no, it's just, I saw a lot of tweets about it, and especially about him kind of saying, He was the head, or he was an endorsed candidate by a couple of politicians, and Mary Lou McDonald for the Right to Change movement and all that. And it was kind of that saying that she should be kind of called out to have a stance on him now. And
yeah,
you know, he was an endorsed candidate, and yeah, no, it's just
where's the responsibility there?
Then last night, then I was watching then your one Dolores Webster, D Wall, the caller. And she was organising, I think, because Macron was coming to Ireland. They organised a little protest outside the Arras. Uachtaráin. And you could see she was live streaming from just outside the house. And there's loads of guards there with dogs. And her thinking there, she's doing a fucking great job. And and even the voice of her, like the gall of her, she's such a fucking gall, like shouting at them and screaming at them. But eventually the Gardaí arrested her, so everyone was cheering on Twitter last night.
Amazing.
And she's getting put into the paddy wagon, and she's there like, don't get off my fucking arm, I have a bone condition, you're gonna break it.
I've got boneitis.
So one time I think she was tackled by a guard, or someone grabbed her or something, and she maintained that she broke her arm or something, and she was in a sling, and she had a fucking,
has anyone asked for proof of this bone condition?
I don't know, but she, that's,
if
wish,
anybody has proof of that, can you reach out to us, please?
Yeah, she, they're just awful fucking vile people, and I think it's about time something's done about them, especially with this. It was heartbreaking listening to the sister. She was in tears.
Why can't they take action against Gemma, by the way? Because if you go back to, listen, I know it's a different country, but if you go back to Alex Jones in the States, and the disgusting vile things and claims and lies he put out about the Sandy Hook victims, and their kids being child actors, I think was his claim, you know, during kind of times of gun violence, and they were able to sue the absolute shite out of him.
Yeah,
like, they ruined him. You know, why can't that happen over here? Or maybe it's to do with the suing culture.
Maybe it's a thing where people might have to get behind the families and crowdfund them or something, and get a solicitor who'll take on the job on their behalf and take them all to court. Because it's just getting to a stage now where they're getting away with far too much, and they can just go fuck themselves.
Yeah, and Twitter's reaction was pretty unanimous then.
Donald O'Keefe was just saying, not to excuse the hatred and venom Gemma Doherty tried to stir up against little children, but singling out a blonde kid as being Irish minority when his parents are Polish in Longford School was a perfect demonstration of the boneheaded stupidity of racism. Just something that she did before.
Amazing.
Then, yeah, I think that was it.
Cool.
Oh, sorry, Katie. Haley was another person that died suddenly, and her father kind of made a statement. Suffice to say, I was absolutely appalled to see that Gemma Doherty was using the death of my daughter Katie to promote her own agenda on her website. The reference on her website to cover up is so removed from reality. All of Katie's family has been vaccinated and see no connection to the COVID vaccination in her tragic passing. That was Pat Haley. Just awful stuff.
Amazing. Well, listen, do you want to kind of, will we alternate topics without Cormac today? Well, do you want to go to one of mine? We'll go back to you. Yeah. We'll mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that makes me feel more comfortable. Yeah,
we're very free without Cormac.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, listen, I want to talk about Nirvana Baby briefly, because it's a bit insane. This is a short one, but have you heard much about this?
All I heard was that the dude from the cover of Nevermind.
The dude.
So the baby is now grown up and he wants to sue Nirvana on account of like using his naked body as a cover.
Yeah, and his reasoning behind it's a little insane, I think.
What's his reasoning?
And you know what, it's a little insane, but I was talking to, you know, a friend of ours, Dave, shout out to Dave, last night in the pub.
Dave is so cool.
I know you love Dave. Yeah. And we were discussing this. And Dave said that he will probably win in some way, shape, or form. And I think I'll go into that towards the end of this as to why he thinks he will. Because it's a good point he's making. But anyway, listen, I first saw this when I saw that the Variety over in the States tweeted out the story in an article. Basically, well, the name, this is about the baby who's in the famous Nirvana Nevermind cover, you know, floating in the pool, reaching for that, I think it's a dollar bill. But the name of that baby is Spencer Eldon. So Variety going to say, Spencer Eldon, the man whose unusual baby portrait was used for one of the most recognisable album covers of all time, Nirvana's Nevermind, filed a lawsuit Tuesday alleging that the nude image constituted child pornography. Okay. The album cover depicts Eldon underwater in a swimming pool as a then infant with his genitalia exposed. The image has generally been understood as a statement on capitalism, as it includes a digital imposition of a dollar bill on a fishhook that the baby appears to be enthusiastically swimming toward. Non-sexualized nude photos of infants are generally not considered child pornography under law. However, Robert Y. Lewis, Eldon's lawyer, offers an unusual interpretation of the image to argue that it crosses the line into child porn, writing that the inclusion of currency in the shot makes the baby appear like a sex worker.
That's mad.
Yeah, and listen, this is no slight in sex workers, by the way. This is a slight on this interpretation of this photo. To think that the baby floating in the water is reaching for the dollar bill because they're taking it as payment for sex is just one of the most outrageous and outlandish claims I think I've ever heard. What do you think of this?
That's mad. But like, wasn't he, when I was reading during the week about it, wasn't he like doing like, he was making money off this though, and like before all this, like he was like posing for reshoots and doing other stuff like that.
Yeah, so he's been dining out in this for a while, and like Twitter has come back to say that numerous times. A fella called Donaldson tweeted out, had he not recreated it three times since, I'd have more sympathy. If this was me as a kid and I didn't consent, I don't like the use of my image. I don't think English is Donaldson's first language, which is fair enough. Fair play, but he seems to enjoy the fame and links to it, but now wants a huge paycheck from it. Someone called Dave Clark tweeted back saying, and why isn't he suing his parents then? What has the band got to do with it? Oh yeah, they're loaded.
Man, I'd feel so like lucky if I was a really good looking baby.
You were a handsome baby, were you?
I was a bonny baby. I was cute as fuck. And if I was like the cover baby of Nirvana's Nevermind, I'd be so honored. Like, wow.
You wouldn't shut the fuck. I think he's got a tattoo of them somewhere. I did see a tweet somewhere. Hold on.
He's got a tattoo of them.
Something. Yeah. Sorry. Duncan Weldon tweeted out, he seemed a lot less bothered when he did the 15 years on, 20 years on, and 25 years on pictures and interviews that I distinctly remember. Has he run out of cash? And then, yeah, a fellow called Mark Wallace, who's a music writer, also tweeted out saying, also when he got the logo tattooed on his chest. So he hasn't written like the Nirvana logo tattooed on his chest as well.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of nonsense. But I'm curious, like, would he be suing Nirvana or Courtney Love?
She probably deserves to be sued anyway.
Well, yeah, she killed Kurt Cobain. that is not a fact, by the way. Shall I say that?
Oh, it's not a fact.
That we know of.
But no, wasn't she meant to kind of not treat him very well or something?
Did she not treat who very well?
Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, that's a consensus among fans and stuff, but like, realistically, we don't know anything.
Oh yeah, you don't know. Yeah, yeah. You don't know what's going on. Yeah,
I think a lot of people kind of describe her as a Yoko, but yeah, it's an absolutely insane one. Like, Twitter's had a pretty strong reaction to this. Mark Wallace, who tweeted out the Variety story when I first saw it, said, "Man portrayed as big baby chasing money turns out to be well," which I thought was really good.
Yeah.
And I did see that, a fellow just called himself Frankenstein tweeted out, "I guess the album cover was a self-fulfilling prophecy." It's fair enough. So it is young Eldon, whatever his name is, Spencer, going for the old dollar bill. It's nuts, you know, and people are kind of angry that he's attacking Nirvana as well. Someone called Salah tweeted out, "The fact that he's trying to drum up sympathy by painting Nirvana as child pornographers is really the grossest part." Like, this is a pretty damaging claim he's trying to put in there, isn't it?
Oh, it's massively damaging.
But I wonder if he's is he now open for a countersuit? You know what the states are like.
But like from my understanding about like taking pictures, and I think that this is where I came in last night when we were talking about it, was that if you take a picture of someone in public, you own that picture.
Yeah.
So there's some cases, some celebrity of like, some paparazzi took a photograph of her in the airport, and then she put that picture out on her Instagram, and the photographer sued that celebrity for using his photo.
Oh wow.
So yeah, I don't understand then.
Well, I think I didn't go into detail from the article, but it does state like his parents did like sign off on this, and they got paid like $200 or something at the time, because it wasn't no one knew if it was going to be a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
It was just a little photo shoot, but like, yeah, they signed over consent and that, like, because it's their kid, you know. Whether you like it or not, you're kind of your parents' property till you're 18 in many ways. It's nuts, you know. I did like this though. A guy called Phil Soskin tweeted out, "Wouldn't even recognize him." "Does this mean babies and adverts for nappies are sexually exploited?" Pampers. Ooh. Have a lot of explaining to do.
Pampers, yeah. And Johnson and John, actually, No More Tears is evil. They always have the baby getting shampooed with the No More Tears Johnson & Johnson shampoo.
Yeah.
It always stings my eyes.
Always?
They're evil. Yeah.
This is your time to sue, man. Everyone's in it.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably leave this here. Well, before I get back to Dave's kind of conclusion, but there's someone called Carl. Carl Instagram, the long hair, or at CarlPaul73 tweeted out, "To be fair, people can change their minds and feelings over things, even over short periods of time. I have no issue with that. And of course, child pornography is terrible. But, in capital letters, this isn't, in capital letters, child pornography, nor was the pic taken with that intent. If anything, he should sue, in capital letters, his parents." Also, of course, he's going for a payday. I mean, wasn't sure if I had to state the obvious, but just in case.
Right.
So listen, the point Dave was making last night is that he could win this, because what judge is going to say people shouldn't be wanking off the child pictures? Was basically Dave's conclusion. Yeah. What do you think?
I think it'd be an awful shame if he wins.
I think, yeah, because what's the precedence then? You know, I didn't say it. There were other tweets kind of saying, like, listen, what's this going to do? You know, it just mean kid photos are going to have to stop indefinitely in a certain state.
Is there any other album covers with like kids on it or people on it, or like any famous ones? I can't think of any.
No.
Oh,
no.
Didn't the Pixies have one of like a baby in like a dandelion suit or something?
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess the Offspring have that. You know, their Americana cover, but that's a cartoon. It's kind of drawn. Yeah. But nothing's really springing to mind. I think. No, nothing I can think of. But like, I just think it opens up the floor to crazies, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I think fuck them as well. Like, God, you should be honored to be on that album cover.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to knock the ball back over to your side of the court, man. That's amazing. What was that?
It was you knocking the ball back over to my court. Now I'm back.
Oh. But I thought it was a horse.
I was looking. Oh, sorry. Just before you move on, there actually, Mallow News had a great tweet, and it was like the cover of Blur Park Life.
Oh yeah, it's the dogs or something.
Yeah, and it just said Park Life Greyhounds sue Blur for animal cruelty. I thought that was good.
That's good.
But yeah, no, I was looking at Frostbit Boy.
Okay, Sean. For those who don't know, who is Frostbit Boy?
So Frostbit Boy, I think. It was a couple of years ago. I think it was in like 2012 or something. And he's from Northern Ireland. And we had a winter.
Apologies to our Northern Irish listeners for that.
We had a winter where it was extremely cold. A
couple of years ago.
There was a lot of snow, and UTV, which was Ulster Television, were out interviewing people about it. And they interviewed this boy called Rory McSorley. And he just gave like. An interview, which I'm going to play for you now, that it was just so, I don't know what he was trying to do, but it's just such a massive Northern Irish accent and way going on, it was just hilarious.
Yeah,
and it went viral, like it was all over the place.
Yeah, it reminds me of like a very like strong Monaghan accent nearly, you know, that kind of.
Oh yeah, yeah, it
real,
does
real Here, country.
I'll play it for you now.
Okay.
Oh God, it's death, we're going, the mountains is brave and close now, right enough. Oh God, it's wild time of the snow, all right.
It doesn't pick you up from going to school.
Well, the mother says we had to go anyway. We hadn't much of a choice in the matter, but sure.
It's a cold journey to school this morning.
Oh God, you wouldn't be long getting frostbite. And these new shocks that I got as well. You see, I had to turn the hill just up to my, what do you say? I had to turn the hill up to my foot there, just so the sock would go longer. The mother got these trainer shock things there. Oh God, you wouldn't get along getting the ankles frostbite off you.
You don't mind walking to school in the snow, do you? Are you used to it up this part of Ireland?
Just walking to Derry.
Where are you used to the snow up this part of Ireland?
Well, there'll be a good wee bit of snow, you know. There's a wild bit of snow there when a Christmas is a go there. Oh no.
What do you make of it today?
Oh, well, it's not just as bad as it was back then, but sure, it'll be all right, it's not a great day, though, right enough. It's sort of a day for the house now, right enough. But there's meant to be wild delays now around Finney and Donnymanna and all them surrounding areas.
Right.
Oh, no. Okay. But sure, anyway, we'll see you anyway. Good luck.
All right, bye-bye.
for anyone outside of Ireland, that is not a different language. That is English.
Yeah, it was.
It's shocking. It was
English. Anyway, he's well fit. Like I was looking down on his YouTube videos, like he was an impersonator. Like he was up doing like impersonations.
So this is something I didn't know, and you just kind of showed this to me this morning. Yeah. He has a YouTube channel, and kind of Rory, I guess, has kind of been taking the initiative to try and get. Famous.
Well, a couple of years ago, I think it was like he had a video up of doing impressions, which made me think was that his real voice or was it just him taking the piss?
Yeah. The impressions aren't the best impressions I've ever heard.
No. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah. He does probably. I was going to say the finest groundskeeper Willie I've ever heard, but I'm being sarcastic and I feel mean.
All right. Yeah. And then he had his own like country song.
He released a song.
Yes.
He had a single.
Yeah.
About sleeping with an older woman.
Yes.
He's in a ride on lawnmower for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And there's a hint that he's about to initiate a threesome in a barn with a couple.
Yeah.
That's all in the music video, and people should definitely look it up because it's like Nathan Carter and steroids.
It's interesting. But anyway, he was trending during the week because there's a story broke that somebody was rescued off the coast of Kerry, 4 kilometers out on sea, with a pod of dolphins, and everyone's like, "Geez, that's mad!" And then it became even madder when they realised it was Frostbit Boy.
Amazing. And like, was he rescued by the dolphins? Is that what the story is, or was he just found with the dolphins?
Just that he was just found swimming with loads of dolphins.
Like, how far out? Like,
that's what I mean. Four kilometers.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So this, everybody thought it was amazing. A couple of good reactions.
I can barely run 4 kilometers, and this fucker swam 4 kilometers out to sea.
Like, it was just fun. And you know what? The Independent have a picture of him up. And he just looks like he's like
Castaway.
He looks completely different.
I said it like that's the name of the character in the movie. He looks like Castaway.
he just looks like you know what? He looks like a guy. He looks like a guy who's doing some living. Like, he's just living.
Yeah. Do you think he maybe tried to get famous initially after the interview? Maybe he didn't, you know, quite see the success he wanted from the impressions and the music industry, and now he's just living life with dolphins.
Possibly.
No, he's just living life as Castaway.
That's bad.
It's nuts, yeah.
The reaction was great. Dangerous Man with a Gun, I think he's from Dundalk. The Frostbit Boy was rescued from the sea after spending 12 hours in freezing waters surrounded by dolphins. Who had that on their 2021 bingo card? that's how kind of mad it was. Richard Chambers, Frostbit Boy, identified after being rescued swimming with pods of dolphins. Not the RTE has a picture of him, like, kind of as Aquaman.
Oh, amazing, because he's got the beard and everything. Yeah, looks good.
What else? I've always said Frostbit Boy would become Ireland's Dick Van Dyke. Jamie FC 20 Benson, good account to follow. Wally the Walrus and Frostbit Boy can never be allowed to meet. It's just too big a risk.
would they be arch like enemies, or
that's what he's kind of saying. Then just drawn into what we were just talking about, petition to change the Nevermind album cover to Rory McSorley.
he wouldn't mind getting his lad out, I'd say.
He wouldn't mind that. But just people just thought it was fantastic. There's one.
It's a truly unique Irish viral topic, you know what I mean? I just don't see that happening anywhere else.
I love the Waterford Whispers one, where it just said, "Public warrant not to fall for Frostbit Boy's elaborate rebanding attempt to become Stranded Dolphin Man." it's such an amazing, it's just an amazing thing to pop up on Twitter this week.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love it.
I know. I enjoyed that this week.
Cool. Well, listen, do you want to talk about a topic that I think I was surprising you with this morning?
Yeah, you said you have a surprise for me, and then I got really excited.
Yeah, because I know how much you love anti-vaxxers.
Yes.
Or the carry-on, how much you love their carry-on. But anyway, there's an anti-vaxxer. Her name is Jackie DeVoy. Jackie DeVoy. And she is... she's got close to 16,000 followers on Twitter.
Right.
She claims to be a freelance journalist since 1985 on a mission to get the truth into the mainstream. Wow. If you have a story, please send me a private message. You know, that's interesting. I always think when someone talks about the mainstream, they're automatically going to lose any argument they're in. You know, I don't know. It's a trigger for me. If you talk about the mainstream, I think you're probably just an idiot.
Yeah.
Or you know, like, I'm rising up against the mainstream.
The mainstream, you know, media and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just silly. But anyway, so Jackie tweeted out a few days ago a tweet that got absolutely like hijacked by Twitter and destroyed and parried and just absolutely wrecked. So she tweeted out this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
A friend told me that hours after the AstraZeneca jab, he was sitting at the dining table when he suddenly projectile vomited pints of black blood. Over the next 4 days, he suffered bleeding from his rectum, had blood in his semen, and came up in bruises all over his body. So, this got absolutely, like, think of how insane it is. I'm going to read that one more time for people listening that haven't seen it.
Yeah, please do, yeah.
A friend told me that hours after having the AstraZeneca jab, he was sitting at the dining table when he suddenly projectile vomited pints of black blood. Over the next 4 days, he suffered bleeding from his rectum, had blood in his semen, and came up in bruises all over his body.
I've got so many questions about that, particularly about like the blood in his semen, or
yeah,
like if he was projecting, right? He started projectile vomiting, and then when he was going to the toilet, he was bleeding when he was going for the toilet. So did he decide to, like, you know, whack something out in the middle of all of that?
Well,
and then to notice, oh my god, there's blood in my semen, like.
Well, listen, James Felton, one of your favorites, Felton. He tweeted out a screenshot of that, while also tweeting out a funny kind of interaction underneath the initial tweet from Jackie, where someone, you know, for some strange reason, disputed this and was like, "How did he find out that blood was in his semen?"
This is my first question.
Yeah. Surely, if bleeding out the arse and mouth and covered in bruises, the last thing in his mind was a session of masturbation. Sounds made up. Someone replied to him saying the hospital would have checked him. And then he replied, "What hospital do you know that will bring a patient off just to check if he expels blood in his load?" And then one replied saying, "The same thing happened to my uncle and they tested his blood, etc. after he was in for 3 weeks."
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that girl's name was Claire. So James kind of replied saying, "Claire's uncle getting wanked off in 1 day before informing the family, Jackie's friend behind curtain number 2 in between the distinctive sounds of shitting blood." Oh my god. You know, it's just fantastic. He said, James also tweeted saying, "Oh, I'm just picturing a man being wheeled into the ICU and a doctor yelling, 'Wank this man immediately, we're losing him.'" Oh, it's just so good.
I see here at Lushuk has up, "Jackie, your friend doesn't need a doctor, they need a priest or a polygraph."
It's so good. James also said, "I guess we know why they're not taking the vaccines. They think if they get sick, worst case scenario, they're going to spend a week being cranked off in the Queen Elizabeth Royal Infirmary." Oh, it's great. Listen, there's been some cracking responses to it, man. H. John Benjamin, the voice of Archer, one of my favorite TV shows, kind of quote retweeted it saying, "This sick and he still managed to masturbate." it's so good. But then people started kind of parodying it and kind of writing their own versions of the tweet. A local tweeter at Rubot, it tweeted out, a friend told me that hours after having the AstraZeneca jab, he was sitting at the dining table when he suddenly could not think of any ongoing points of reference or notable quotes or memes from Avatar, the highest grossing and most successful movie of all time," which I really love, because Avatar is such a cultural phenomenon and that it's the highest grossing movie of all time. But can you name anybody who remembers anything about that movie?
It's just Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, but is it not Pocahontas?
Sorry?
Wasn't it more Pocahontas than...
No, it's
what am I thinking of?
It's the story of... It's basically the same story as Last of the Mohicans.
What Disney movie is Pocahontas? And there's something else that's kind of... It's the same thing.
There's a movie with Tom Hanks in it where he's a samurai and he goes off to kill loads of samurai.
Oh, not Tom Hanks. You're thinking of Tom...
Or Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And it's the same storyline. He starts fighting with him then. It's the same storyline.
All right. Well, Keen by Nature tweeted out, "A friend told me that hours after having the visor jab, he was sat at the dining table when he suddenly shot laser beams out of his eyes. Over the next 4 days, he summoned inclement weather storms from his arsehole every time he farted and jizzed the blood of Jesus Christ." And then someone replied to him saying, someone replied to Keen just saying, "I'm asking for the visor for my booster." So, which I love. But there's some absolutely brilliant ones. Someone called @Prague_Tony tweeted out his version, which simply said, "A friend told me that hours after having the AstraZeneca jab, one of his nipples started dispensing pina colada and he couldn't stop singing the score to the HMS Pinafore. Over the next 4 days, he gained the ability to judge the exact weight of any vegetable just by looking at it."
Nice.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's good. At Danny Fernandez, who is quite, she's quite well known in the States. She's like a TV presenter and writer. But she tweeted out saying, "I got the Pfizer one and got pregnant. I have never had any sex in my life. It literally took my virginity. My baby clawed out of my womb and ran into the wilderness. The Pfizer babies will rise." I really like that. It's good. But yeah, there's some outrageously good responses to this. I really enjoyed it. I did see someone called at Brick Frog tweeted out, "A friend of mine told me that," oh yeah, so this is a good one. This is like a Simpsons themed one. I think you'll enjoy this. "A friend of mine told me that hours after having the AstraZeneca jab, he was making babies at the dining table, and I saw one of the babies, and the baby looked at me." Remember Ralph's fucking speech? It's so good. But yeah, it's just spreading some good stuff.
Well, that's the weirdest tweet I think I've ever come across.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know what's even better, Sean?
What?
She deleted the tweet, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, "What the fuck? You know, that's shit crack, you know?"
Yeah.
And then she tweeted out yesterday, "My tweet about my friend's adverse AstraZeneca reaction was deleted as it was deemed to be false information. How do the Twitter gods make a decision on that? A spiteful person reports it and Twitter sides with them. Hardly balanced. It's sad that there are so many ignorant people about. Apologies, I made a mistake. Twitter deleted it."
Oh.
Yeah, as false information under their...
Twitter.
But it would fall under their COVID fake news kind of stuff, wouldn't it?
I know, but it's cool.
That is hilarious.
So funny.
Yeah,
I'm glad people screenshotted it.
I know, yeah. Well, people's replies, it's interesting. I only found this out through researching this. If Twitter delete a tweet, the responses still live.
Oh.
So I was able to actually go into... I think if I clicked on where the tweet used to be, I could still see responses and stuff.
Yeah.
So that made it quite easy to take the piss out of Jackie, you fucking head case. But yeah, did you enjoy that, Sean?
I'm really delighted that I kind of feel nice as well that you thought about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you came in and said I was surprised for you, and now I'm surprised, and I'm like, oh,
there's really some nice Cormac's on here. I thought I'd treat you nice.
Thanks. Yeah, Fergal does look after me.
I do my best.
Yeah, he manages me well.
It's half my job.
I think maybe next week, I think maybe if Cormac's back, I think I'll be a lot more on my A game again. But I enjoyed having a nice sort of easy, relaxing conversation today.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, Sean. Listen, thanks for joining me this week, sans Cormac.
Yeah.
I'm sad we don't have the Cormacatron anymore. Remember, we used to have kind of recorded, kind of voice notes from Cormac we'd use in the show. I changed laptops and unfortunately lost.
It kind of freaked me out anyway.
So the Cormac AI.
The Cormac AI was too realistic.
What do you think a Cormac AI would do? Try and take over the world? And
I think it would try to take everybody's girlfriends from them.
Yeah, and then spend money on frivolous things that they don't need.
Yeah.
I hope he listens to this one. Sean, did you have any tweets of the week or anything?
I was actually trying to look there. It was actually funny. I had a couple of tweets that I liked, but I don't know if any of them saw it. Oh, this one.
Here we go. The panic of looking through your likes has worked.
I know, yes. This was a nice tweet from @noway779, and she just had a picture of a poster, and it just said, "Have faith in the Pfizer vaccine. Don't forget they make Viagra. If they can raise the dead, they can save the living."
Fantastic. That's a good joke. That's a well-worked joke.
Yeah, and I'm glad I came across it last minute so I could say something.
Absolutely love it. That's brilliant. Cool. Listen, Sean, thanks for joining me again this week without Cormac.
Yeah, see how loyal and dependable I am.
I know. You're one of a kind, my friend. I guess before I go, I'll say my tweet of the week. It was from Dara O'Brien. And it was about the Nirvana baby thing. And he just said, "Is Adam Clayton going to sue the rest of you two for getting Zlad out in the cover of Octung Baby?" Amazing. All right, listen, thanks for joining us. We've been Tweets Ahead. We're an Irish podcast. You can find us on all good podcast platforms, whether that's Apple, Spotify, Anchor, whatever it is. You can also check out our website, tweetsahead.com. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @TweetsAheadCast, and we're even on the TikToks at Tweets Headcast as well. We're huge on TikTok, Sean.
Yes, we are.
Massive. Our music, as always, is Welcome to the Breakdown by Bill Coleman. I've been Fergal. That's been Sean. And see you guys next week.